On Wednesdays, I've been leading a class called Episcopal 101. And this past Wednesday, as we were concluding, we started discussing why it is that we use the color blue for Advent. As you see, blue everywhere. One of the main reasons for using blue during Advent is to distinguish it from Lent. The liturgical color for the season of Lent, as you probably know, is purple. And the Episcopal Church used purple during Advent until, you know, our liturgical renewal period of the 70s and 80s, and some continued to use it after that, and still today you can go to Episcopal churches and see purple hangings instead of blue, even now. But then there are those, like our church, where we want to use blue because we're moving away from thinking of Advent as little Lent. You may have heard that, right? It's shorter than Lent, and for a long time it was viewed in a very similar way. But using the color blue helps us move away from thinking of this season as a little Lent, because this season is distinctive. And yet, here we are on the second Sunday of Advent with John the Baptist calling us to repent. And of course, repentance is a big feature of Lent. So what is the character of repentance in Advent? Is there a difference? What is its color? What is its shape? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Advent is its own special season of waiting and preparing for Christ to be born to us once again. And this year at HOCO, we are also considering what can't wait. About our focus on what can't wait, I mentioned this last week, but just to get us back into it, the program creators write this: Advent is a season of waiting, but is it idle waiting that God wants of us? In preparation for the coming Messiah, we wonder together today what things can't wait, what demands our immediate attention, what requires our work and preparation. What is it that God can't wait for? Is it our praise, reconciliation, proclamation? Is it the end of suffering, isolation, and fear? This Advent, we are invited to join in imagining, prioritizing, and preparing. What is it this Advent about repentance that can't wait? For John the Baptist, it could not wait. He had a sense that something, someone, was coming, and he wanted people to get ready. Repentance in the Hebrew sense means turning around. The Greek word gives us the idea of being transformed, a transformative change of heart. I'm guessing that when you have seen situations and lives transformed, you've probably seen some repentance and some reconciliation that was part of the transformation. When we think of racial reconciliation, this that we long for so much here in our city, justice and peace for all, when we see it a bit, we always see repentance and we see action being taken for reconciliation on a number of levels. Just a couple of days ago, my mother received a letter from a group. I'm calling it an action group. I'm not really sure who these people are. But a group in her Ginter Park neighborhood. And the letter explained that efforts are underway to change the name of her street, which is currently called, and has always been called, as far as I know, Confederate Avenue. Some of you may not know that that avenue exists here in Richmond, but it's right there. A desire to change the name to something else comes from a place of repentance, a desire for something new. And the letter these folks sent, there were about six people who signed it, were very passionate. And I also appreciate that they gave both sides. I mean, you know there's another side to this. I've gone to grad school with some historians who freak out when stuff like this happens. Anyway, I won't get into all, I could go on and on about this issue. But I got a real sense from the letter. I loved the letter because there was such a desire for something new. And they named that. They even said that. Preparing a way for something more welcoming. Something more welcoming. Something, a name that might be part of the transformation we're hoping to see in Richmond. Because when we hear that word, we think of the legacy to which it points. And it's still right there when we hear that word. Some people have decided that the name change cannot wait. My family has lived on that street since 1948. That's when my grandparents moved here and bought that house. And ever since I was old enough to understand the name, I've been uneasy with it. I would always, whenever I'd have to say it, and I've lived there, you know, they've had the house for a long time. I lived there at various times in my life, and I'd have to give that address, and it's very awkward. I was uneasy. So I can't wait for the change. I will say, though, the names they were suggesting were incredibly uncreative. They talked about extending Walton, which if you cross Brook Road and Chamberlain, Walton is the street over there. Just calling it Walton Extended or Median Way. I'm kind of hoping some poet might come forward. Like, I thought Forsythia Way might be nice, something like that. Anyway, I'm excited about the name change. Desmond Tutu, in his book, No Future Without Forgiveness, writes, "Forgiving and being reconciled are not about pretending that things are other than they are. It is not patting one another on the back and turning a blind eye to the wrong. True reconciliation exposes the awfulness, the abuse, the pain, the degradation, the truth." He says it could even sometimes make things worse. It is risky, a risky undertaking, but in the end, it is worthwhile, because in the end, dealing with the real situation helps to bring real healing. Tutu's words are true for large societal problems that desperately need transformation, and for situations in our lives and in the lives of our families. When I read, "Forgiving and being reconciled are not about pretending that things are other than they are, not about patting one another on the back and turning a blind eye," I thought of a story. And as I thought of this story, I thought, should I tell this story as if it were about someone else? And then I thought, no, this is my story. This is a story of me and my dad. Several years ago, we got real about our relationship, about, and I might even cry, it's so moving to me, about the emotional distance that had been between us for decades. We had very little contact after my parents got divorced when I was 7. But we'd been acting like everything was fine, but it wasn't. I had to repent from being okay with that distance. I had to repent from feeling powerless in the situation. I needed to get real with him about how I felt. He was sorry. I was sorry. He was hurt by the divorce. I was hurt. He tried to ignore his pain. I had tried to ignore mine. And we lived with that distance in fear. I had fear anyway, and denial for a long time. But we turned around. We got help. And we saw such a transformation in our relationship. There just came a day when for me, and maybe this is what it is about what can't wait, I felt it so deeply. It was so intense that it could not wait another day. And so we had to get real, I felt. It was not easy. I think of Bishop Tutu's words, it might get worse. It wasn't easy, but it was so holy and spirit-filled, and God was all over it. God took the small steps that we offered and brought radical transformation. Before taking this journey of repentance together, we would go for months without contact. Every time I got a phone call from him or my stepmother, I assumed somebody had died. We would go for months. And now we're in touch. We FaceTime every single Sunday. And that's just a surface example of what you can imagine is so deep in our hearts. So while this is my personal story, I think it's not unique to me and my dad, and speaks of an Advent spirit of repentance. An Advent spirit of repentance is about turning around with hope, maybe even great hope, even though we might be scared. Turning around and preparing the way for God to come into it, to come to us, to transform our lives. Being hurt, living with pain, living with separation, distance, trying to pretend it's not that bad, that everything is okay. We do this with big issues like racism, and many of us do it in our own lives. Is there a situation in your life that can't wait? Is there something that you're feeling you really need to get real about in yourself or in a relationship that you have? Today, we might also take a moment to celebrate and give thanks for the times that we have had the courage to get real, to turn and face our fears, and found that new life is possible. Change, transformation is possible. Because as the scripture goes, all things are possible with God. So remember John the Baptist? He was out there in the wilderness acting crazy because he knew something great was about to happen. Maybe we need to claim the wilderness and act a little crazy too. What can't wait for you or us? What can't wait for us to turn around and face into the pain, the fear, the hurt, so as to prepare the way for something divine to happen in the midst of our everyday and communal lives? One of our artist's reflections for today about her painting of John the Baptist, Lauren Wright Pittman, writes, and this is in your bulletin, the art is there in the insert with her reflection. In part of that reflection, she writes, John points us to where God is to be found, in the wilderness, at the margins of power, at the periphery of looming destructive systems, where the waters of baptism ripple and swirl, where grace is abundant, and God draws near. John the Baptist is at one with the wonder and mystery of the coming Messiah. He holds out his hand, inviting the viewer, inviting us to choose trust and dive fully into the unknown. Amen.